Well, again, good morning. If you will, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we'll begin in verse 1. It says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you.'" Today we're going to look at the seventh verse of chapter 5. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Who gives mercy? What is its source? Well, that is God. God is the source of mercy. It didn't originate with man. In fact, you don't have to look far in this world to see that it didn't originate with man. It is God who shows mercy. It is his idea. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he's on the cross, says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I want to look at Ephesians chapter 2 just to try to draw out some of the meaning of this a little more and use this portion, very familiar portion, as we always say. But Ephesians chapter 2, we'll read it just the first 10 verses. It says, verses 4 through 10, we'll read, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And so as we look at this, it says, God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love. It is God's love that he shows us grace. And it's the grace of God toward us that we experience his mercy. And it is the mercy of God that we experience his forgiveness. It's not climbing the other way. The big umbrella is God's love. Then it's almost like those Russian dolls or whatever, that, you know, you got the big doll, then you open it up and you get the other little doll out. And sort of, if I can use a example that way, just try to understand it. It all fits in together. But it is God's great love that he shows us his grace, and his grace that he shows us his mercy, and it's God's mercy that he shows us his forgiveness. Micah 7, verse 18 says, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage, who does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy?" The Lord delights in mercy, and so he wants us to show mercy to others. In fact, turn with me into the book of Micah, book of Micah chapter 6, one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. We'll start in verse 6. It says, this is the Lord, he starts out in the chapter by saying, "Israel, bring your complaint to me. What is it that you have against me? Have I not done all these things? He reminds them of how he brought them out of Egypt, how he brought them out of bondage and brought them into the land. And he says in verse 6, it says, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Again, we are framing the study of being conformed to the image of Christ, to being like Christ, and to show, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly, just as Christ walked with the Lord, with God and his Father. It is God who gives mercy, and mercy originates with God. So we look in the world today, again, as I said, we don't have to look far or for very long before we realize just how merciless this world is. And it almost perfectly describes portion in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the beginning portion of it, almost perfectly describes the world we're in, and also the world that Christ was speaking to. Remember, he was speaking to the Jews of that day. There were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Zealots, and there's another group as well, I can't remember, but the Zealots wanted to overthrow Rome, get rid of them. The Pharisees, they wanted to stick to the law, nothing else. And even their own traditions, even so, more so over the law. And the Sadducees, they wanted their own appetites filled in other ways. But let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Very first one, it says, for men will be lovers of themselves. Self is the opposite of mercy. If you are consumed with self, if we are consumed with our own desires and our own wants, and we don't take into account others' needs, we will never be able to show mercy, never be able to show that. And think of the brutality that we see on TV, on the news, when you see a young man dragged out of a truck and some person comes up, what I call the new American Red Guard, comes up and kicks this young man right square in the head as they are attempting a Marxist overthrow of our country. We are to show mercy. The only answer that we can show to this world is to show mercy and the grace and the love of God. In fact, it is better for us to do so. One passage I have gone to several times in speaking is in 2 Kings, and it's the story of when the Syrians are outside of Samaria, and they're waiting, they're starving out the people, and it gets to the point where the starvation is so bad. I remember I measured it out, the cup, they were selling pigeon droppings, the amount of, I said a cup of yogurt for, I forget the price on it, but people were willing to eat a cup of pigeon droppings. And you remember the story of the two women that came before the king and said, this woman and I agreed to kill our sons and to eat them. And that's how bad the starvation was in the area. And here we have so much like this world, maybe not the physically starving, but the spiritually starving that we are in this country, where the word of God is proclaimed so rarely in the public square today. It says, and in that story, you have the four lepers that go out. They say, well, if we stay here, we're going to die of starvation. We might as well go to the Syrians and see if we can get some mercy, or, you know, some food from them and live. And they go and they find the camp of the Syrians evacuated because the Lord sent confusion into the hearts of the Syrians. And there they found all this gold. They found all this food. They found all the livestock that the Syrians left behind. They started hiding some of the stuff for them to keep for themselves. And they stopped. And they said, we are not doing what is right. This day is the day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now, therefore, let us go and tell the king's household. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 17, it says, the merciful man does good to his own soul. It is good for us to show mercy, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. Now, I want to try to do something that I've never done before, and I hope it doesn't get me in much trouble, but we'll let that warm up for a second here, and that, Dave, that's your cue. Hopefully this will all work out. But we need to show mercy to others in several different ways. In this way, we're going to show a movie clip, and I'm going to assume many of you have seen it. Yeah, thank you, Josh. I just want to show this one scene of what it looks to practically show mercy.
Ready, Pete?
Yes.
Come on, gentlemen. Why didn't you call me?
I tried to call you.
Quite a picnic, huh?
I'm Madrid. Running a little late, you know. It's taking longer than I thought. Yeah, a drink?
Oh, something called Bola. Oh, another beautiful day. Say we get your fire hoses out here and hose down the cars. Thank you. Indulge me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I'll bring the fire hoses.
Where's the fire?
This is really cruel, Oscar. You're giving them hope. You shouldn't do that. That's cruel.
Come on. Try and reach the far end. The gun. I've got some 200 meter horses back in the Malia.
I have 20 meters at home in my garden.
We can reach the cars at the end.
Here we are.
Yeah, throw up.
our Führer. Every time the train stops, you open the doors, you give them water, yeah?
Jawohl.
Yeah. This car! This car!
Thank you, brother. You'll forgive me if showing a clip of a movie offends anyone. It's not my intention. My intention is to show what mercy looks like in a practical manner. Think of the horror, the fact that human beings were sent off to places called Buchenwald, Auschwitz, and would die a horrible death at the hands of murderers. Brothers and sisters, there's a world that is going to a much worse place than Buchenwald, much worse than Auschwitz. Christ says in Matthew chapter 25 that he who gives a cold glass of water in my name does it unto me. He says, let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31, it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer and say, will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, feed you, or thirsty, and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in a prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Mercy can be very practical in its execution. We need to look for opportunities to show mercy, that people will know that we are Christ's. Also, we need to show mercy and forgive others, and not hold grudges. Mark chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 say, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven might also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Spiritually, how can we show mercy? By witnessing, by praying for the lost, by sharing the love of Christ, by preaching the gospel. What was it in Jonah chapter 4? We don't want to have his attitude. When the Assyrians were forgiven or they were spared for that short time when they repented and they wore sackcloth, and the king said that everybody needs to repent. What was it Jonah said? He said, Lord, see, I knew it. This is why I didn't want to come here in the first place. This is why I took off for Tarshish, because I knew you were gracious, full of mercy and slow to anger and full of loving kindness. It's not an attitude to have with the lost. Instead, 2 Timothy verses 25 and 26. Just turn there quickly. He says to Timothy, Paul says to Timothy, he says, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth and they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. This world is blinded by the devil. And just one last thought of the differences between grace and mercy. If grace is the cure that saves us, mercy is what relieves the symptoms. As far as the second part of verse 7 of Matthew 5, where he says, they shall obtain mercy. How do we obtain mercy? Well, we obtain it from God. He's the one who gives it. He shows us mercy. And it's not just a future mercy that we're going to obtain. It's a present mercy through all the days of our lives. Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23 say, Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassion fails not. They are new when? Every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Forgiveness is displayed at the cross. Mercy is displayed at the cross. Grace is displayed at the cross. And God's love is displayed at the cross. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Psalm 23, verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What a gracious, merciful, and forgiving God we serve. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your great and tender mercies. Think of all the times that David cried out, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. So many times in the Psalms he would cry out. And yet, Lord, our cry for mercy was heard at Calvary. There you displayed your great love and your great kindness towards us and your mercy, which knows no bounds at Calvary, Lord. And so, Father, we thank you so much for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for his will to come and to save us. Lord, we thank you now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Could we close with number 105 in the black book? O Christ, he is the fountain, the deep, sweet well of love. The streams on earth I've tasted, more deep I'll drink above. There to an ocean fullness his mercy doth expand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. Number 105.
O Christ, he is the fountain, the deep, sweet well of love. The streams on earth I've tasted, more deep I'll drink above. There to an ocean fullness, his In